Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, email techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. This is Tech Access Weekly, episode 123 for, what is it, January 18th? Hey, come on! You're supposed to hang that up! For January 18th, 2012, since I was rudely interrupted, this is Rodney.
And Aaron.
And this is our episode entitled, Want Dots With That?
And to explain what to find out why I did that.
Yes, just because you're rude.
Of course, I'm always rude to you.
You could hang up the phone.
I'm always rude to you.
You could mark it as silent.
Oh.
You could turn the phone. Okay, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. Are you going to put that in between every single article?
No.
Okay. Criminally!
I'm not going to explain it at the moment, but we will talk about it a little bit later.
Business, we'll call that a tease.
Yes, a tease. And if you listened to the Melting Pot on Mushroom FM last Sunday, you already know.
From 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, you already know what that means. Anyway.
We have absolutely no listener mail.
No listener mail. We don't have much listener anything going on.
No.
People just don't love us anymore.
I don't think anybody's out there.
I don't either. They're gone. They've left. They think we suck and they don't want to have anything to do with us ever again.
I guess they're probably PO'd because we stopped the daily tips for a while.
Yeah, we had to do that.
Which we didn't mention last week.
No, we didn't.
That we have put it on hiatus for a little bit because it was becoming a little too time consuming.
Yeah, and so in order to figure out exactly how we're going to restructure that, we needed a few weeks to take a look at that. Yeah. So hopefully we should have some things back to you by February.
Yeah, and we're trying to look at other projects possibly. So we kind of needed time to think, cleanse the mind.
Yes.
Refresh.
The spirit.
Yeah, because those little suckers are only 5 minutes, but
they take a lot of time, especially for me, and it was getting a little... As I started to work more, it started to get more difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, are we ready to move right along?
Anything else? No?
I don't think so.
No. All righty, let's head back into security news. I didn't know she was going to do that.
Well, it's better, you know, doing that instead of... I think I'll stick with...
Oh, whew, I thought you were going to do the... Marimba again. No. Here. Oy. Ay, ay, ay. You give some people a toy and they just keep right on driving it right into the ground.
Oh, sometimes we just can't help it, especially when it's so easy to just, never mind, I didn't do it.
Okay. Okay. And speaking of driving it into the ground, not too long ago, the flashback virus hit the Apple computer system and it started out at version A. Well, now they're already up to version J.
The 10th version.
OS X/Flashback J.
J.
I don't know what J ever did to anybody.
I don't know.
But anyway, this is a program that pretends to look like Adobe Flash, and it will put a various payload of programs on your computer system and actually try and send back data to its home planet. Well, unfortunately for the folks that are working on this, XProtect, which is the software that Apple puts on their computers to sort of protect against these kind of things, is already detecting it, because even though people are developing Flashback J, it's not really progressing to the point that new strings of it are not being detected. So that's kind of a plus.
Yeah. So in other words, the current definition files that most people have for detecting viruses are picking it up. So they haven't done much to, exploit loopholes in virus definition files.
Yeah.
Apple is still working on its end to put its own protections in place too.
Yeah. So if you have not updated or do not have automatic updates on that, you should do that. because they did release an update just last week that will protect you from these malicious Adobe Flash lookalikes.
Ooh.
Now, unfortunately, Zappos' old Kentucky home had a little bit of a break-in.
Yeah, their Kentucky servers were compromised, hacked, I think is the slang term for that. And
true that.
Yeah, and user data of various forms was stolen. They want to emphasize this included pretty much names and addresses. It did not include credit card information or password information for various customers. However, Zappos took it upon themselves to require that customers change their passwords.
Yeah. Now, it did impact 24 million accounts on the Zappos servers, and there sort of was a little bit of credit card information in that hackers were able to get the last four digits of your credit card information, which they really need the fifth or sixth digit
from the end
with that,
yeah,
in order to really have anything.
And they also need that CCV code.
Yeah, they also need the CCV code on the back of your card. This has been rectified. Zappos actually took a major step and actually turned off their phone system because they knew that they were going to get a lot of phone calls.
Whoa.
And it's kind of unusual for Zappos because Tony Hsieh, who runs Zappos, has kind of built the company on great customer service. And people were saying, well, this looks like bad customer service. But in actuality, it's probably good that they posted things on their website and mm-hmm. sent out email letters describing fully
what
happened. And you didn't have to actually dial their phone system and get busy signals or unable to process. So that was a little bit of proactive planning.
Excellent.
On their part.
Absolutely.
Speaking of planning, the Pirate Bay is planning to get rid of the .torrent files that are linked to by their torrent tracker. They are going to start using, at some point in the near future, magnet links.
This essentially means that users, the responsibility for keeping track of the torrents and who has what, is taken from the user and given to the server.
Yeah, because the .torrent files actually holds a hash of the location of the files that are being shared. So the magnet links will actually allow the Pirate Bay to have servers that will point you in the right direction, which I guess that kind of sounds like what Napster used to do back in the late 90s.
Sounds like it.
Because they housed the links to information on their servers, and you were able to actually search hard drives and things to get a tremendous amount of illegal data.
And we want to emphasize some of the information on Pirate Bay is not illegal.
Yes, we will clarify that.
And torrents are not always illegal.
No, because Linux distributions are dispersed by
a torrent.
But we will point out that by going to magnet links, the Pirate Bay will actually shrink in website size because everything will be on servers and they will actually be able to replicate themselves more times and very easily.
Yeah, and it could potentially be you could be wandering around with Pirate Bay on a USB stick somewhere.
Exactly. Now, speaking of Linux, people are becoming upset at Microsoft yet again. Because they are saying that Windows 8 will require a secure boot on ARM processors, and that will eliminate people from being able to install Linux software on
computers that use ARM processors. Not Intel.
Not Intel.
But ARM processors. Yeah. I don't quite understand why they're doing that.
I don't know. It's not really clear
there
as to
like
why
there was like an explanation
in
the article, but it wasn't. It seems a little bit arbitrary.
Well,
is it that they have some kind of deal with Intel and not with ARM Corporation?
I don't know. I guess one thing they're trying to do is try and give you a secure experience, secure and nice experience. And
right.
One thing that the Intel computers will actually be able to do is install Linux, but the manufacturers who are selling the computers will actually have to give you permission
to
do that. So you won't just be able to do it right out of the box unless otherwise specified.
It is time to talk SOPA and PIPA.
Oy.
SOPA, Stopped Online Privacy Act, is...
I always liked those movies.
Huh? What movies?
Pippa Longstocking.
Oh, please.
Oh, that was Pippi.
Yes. Stop Online Privacy Act, and the
Protect
Senate
IP.
Has its own version, PIPA, Protect Intellectual Property Act. And these are trying to do the same thing. And these are bills currently in debate in the U.S. Congress. Nothing has been signed. However, PIPA is expected to go into debate next week. And SOPA is probably going to go in next February sometime. So they are not dead. They are just shelved for the present. Essentially, what they do is they try and block users from accessing sites that may, emphasis on the may, have illegal content on them. PIPA is focusing on the sites with illegal content. SOPA is focusing on sites that may get you to sites with illegal content on them.
Yeah, and they're kind of looking at foreign websites, or at least that is what they are saying.
That's what they say they're
doing. The Motion Picture Association is saying that we want to protect our content that's being served up by Indonesia and all these other countries out there. So,
and SOPA and PIPA were primarily inspired by grumblings and mumblings from the entertainment industry that complain, quite justifiably, that sales are reduced because people are downloading their products illegally. And yeah, that is happening. But these industries already have legislation in place to do some of the same things that SOPA and PIPA are trying to do. The Digital Media Copyright Act and the RIAA. So it's kind of redundant. And SOPA and PIPA, they say they're going only after foreign sites, but they also will try and require that search engines block for these foreign sites from their search engine. So they're trying to get them to police themselves. And they're also trying to get U.S. sites to police their websites to make sure that they don't have any links to these allegedly foreign and apparently containing illegal material websites.
Yeah, so now, this means that if you were on YouTube and you were singing a, like in previous times, a Prince song or something,
right,
they could actually say that that's infringing and that video can be taken down.
Right.
Well, in some cases, this would actually allow for them to take down the entire website.
Yes.
Which, in some cases, if that website is hosted on, say, Squarespace or some other hosting company that actually has all of the content on certain servers, this process would actually block that and get rid of every single website and content creator all at one time.
And the languages of the bills are very broad in terms of how can you determine whether something is, you know, illegal. And it gives people very, very broad discretion. It's almost pointless for people to even have. Basically, you just have to use good judgment.
Yeah, and
I mean,
it's one of those things that it's kind of like a lot of people are saying that this is just a way for the industries like the RIAA and the MPAA to be able to change, to not be able. Not be required to change their job model, their product model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to keep it the same way that it's been for the last 50 years. If you look at a lot of the statistics that are going around as far as sales, because they are now putting their information out there where people can actually get it on iTunes and Google Music and Amazon.com and things like that, sales are actually starting to go up. So piracy really isn't an issue as much as it was originally, because now they're actually getting the content to the consumers that want to pay for this stuff.
Right.
And most likely, hackers will get around any type of blockade that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have actually considered this maybe being similar to the Great Firewall of China. You know.
Yes, there's actually a SOPA parody song called No Firewall.
Yes.
Actually, scary enough, the production of that song is quite good. A friend of ours on Twitter has said that if people put as much time into protesting other social issues as they do in protesting SOPA and PIPA, the world would be a much better place. And I happen to think there's something to that. But there have been protests going on. If you want to read articles that talk about SOPA and PIPA and just what is going on, we have bookmarks both in our Twitter feed and on our delicious show notes that talk about what these bills are and how they're going to affect people.
Yeah, if you go into any website like Ars Technica or CNET, you'll find a plethora of articles related to this particular issue that is going on. Plus,
there have been protests going on. Wikipedia, for instance, is blacked out. Their English site is blacked out on January 18th, which is today, from midnight of the 18th until midnight of the 19th.
If you actually use your mobile device, you can still get around that.
But if you're using the computer and you go to wikipedia.com, you get, this is what we're doing, this is why, and this is what SOPA and PIPA are.
Yeah.
So Google is also in protest, along with WordPress, Scribd, and other hosting sites.
Like Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit.
Is another one that's
and
doing
Google
it.
Even has a petition that you can go and sign.
Yeah, and I believe before this podcast, it was almost at 4 million signatures.
And if you go to the Google website, it is on the main search page. And if you pull up a list of links, like in your screen reader, it is called Please Sign the Petition.
Yeah. So definitely may want to do that. You may also want to contact your Congress critter to voice your opinions and say that you're okay with people protecting their intellectual property, but these two acts would actually destroy creativity and hinder the internet as far as its growth. Now, the White House actually came out on Saturday of this week and said that they are not in favor of anything that is going to censor lawful activity or to inhibit the innovations of the internet
and free speech and expression.
Yeah. So if the president does not support it, then what kind of strength does it have?
Yeah.
But at the same time, people have pointed out that the White House has opposed bills before and then turned right around and supported them again.
Yeah.
So it's a never-ending thing. And just before this, the EFF had announced that just today, 29 of the opposing congressmen have actually switched their vote or considerations for that. 26 of the 29 were actually Republicans who are probably wanting to get reelected.
Yeah, you would think.
But if you want to contact your Congress critter, you can find links over at Wikipedia. EFF has links to your particular people. It is advised that you should either send a print letter, or
call them on the telephone.
Yeah, or you should give them a call. Why a print letter? Because it actually would have a stamp on it telling them exactly where you are located.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, probably the congressmen aren't too good with the computer.
That I've got to go out on a limb there and say that some of them are not, especially the older ones.
I work with people that aren't too good on the computer, and they're programmers.
That's sad.
And in other Obama administration news, they have said that the Constitution actually protects your phone recordings.
More precisely, you are legally allowed to record the actions of police officers around you.
Yeah, apparently there is a court case going on in Baltimore where Christopher Sharp is actually suing the Baltimore Police Department, saying that they actually deleted information off of his phone where he tried to record the assault of one of his friends during a scuffle in Baltimore.
Yeah, apparently they didn't just delete the recordings. They deleted everything on his phone. So he had like pictures of his son and family on there, and they were deleted without any cause. They just deleted all the photos and videos that he had.
Yeah, there's numerous accounts of this kind of stuff on YouTube. You'll see where people had a traffic stop and they videotaped it or something, and the cop was not very happy that they were videotaping it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't understand what the problem is. Are they that afraid of being thought of as dirty cops or something? Are they that afraid of maybe some of their police officers will do something illegal or, you know, I guess it is possible.
And sometimes the public does not keep authority figures in the best of lights.
That's true, but this will only make the situation worse if you just go around deleting people's cell phones.
Yeah, well, it's a form of intimidation.
Absolutely. But it won't make people feel any better about authority figures if they keep doing it.
Well, no.
So, moving right along.
Along! Coming this summer, you'll possibly have another music service to use on your iOS and Android phones called Music Unlimited.
This is a service from Sony, and they're trying to determine whether they want to do this or not. But as of CES time, they were debating developing apps for Android and iOS that would allow you to access Sony Entertainment Music on your mobile device.
Yeah, currently their catalog has 15 million songs, and they're pretty well known in Europe and other countries other than the U.S., so it's kind of one of those things of, okay, is Music Unlimited actually going to be able to infiltrate the Spotify's, iTunes, and such?
Pandora's, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not really anything special that they offer other than I think you can queue or cache your playlists so that you can actually play them without having to pay for it or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And as yet, it won't be released until the summer. So until then, we're not going to know what they're going to offer anyway.
Yeah, and most likely it will not be accessible.
Most likely not. Target. More little shopping news. Target is going to start carrying Apple mini stores in its store. Best Buy does already.
They're going to have like little bitty sections in their stores, about 25 of them, that will actually be selling computers and accessories and the iPods and iOS devices. So you'll actually be able to go do your shopping and get a nice, wonderful Apple device. So it'll probably go a little bit after the people that do not really realize that there is an Apple store.
Yeah, and they don't say what exactly they're going to sell and what they're not going to sell. So that actually I don't think has been determined yet. But you should at least be able to try and get your iPhones and iPads there. I don't know that they're going to go to the Apple Mac computer.
Well, I mean, they sell computers and things at other places like Best Buy, I think.
Right.
So maybe they'll sell that, but most likely you will not have a Genius Bar to help you with troubleshoot things. You'll probably have to still go to an Apple store for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of other things that you cannot go to a store for. Switch that around. Last week it was shown that there was a Steve Jobs doll that you could purchase or place an order for that was going to be created by a Hong Kong company. Well,
that Apple idea has been shelved.
Yeah, this is very similar to the action figure or figurine that was developed a couple years ago. I believe it was maybe last year or 2009, 2010, one of those. Yeah. Anyway, there was another figure that was actually squashed that was looking just like this. The difference is that this one actually looked like Steve Jobs, but they did not incorporate any Apple merchandise.
Yeah, the one in 2009 or 10 was weird because it had like the chair and a freaky little like makeshift computer thing.
Yeah, he was holding a phone and an Apple logo and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this one was just the figurine itself.
In his black turtleneck and jeans and, you know, have the Steve Jobs face and everything. But his family was, quite understandably, I think, pretty upset by the idea. And so the idea has been shelved.
Yeah, and probably some extreme pressure from the legal staff of the Apple Corporation as well for using his likeness. In other news that just broke today.
Breaking news.
We're getting a breaking news.
A breaking news ding.
All right. Hang on. Wait a minute. Did we need that?
No. Okay. Did it anyway.
Oh, okay. Cool. Do you want a marimba?
Breaking news!
Since it's a phone thing, AT&T has announced that they are actually updating their data plans. For phones, AT&T data plans will now have 300 megabytes of data usage for $20 per month. You will also get 3 gigabytes for $30 or 5 gigabytes for $50. This will go into effect. I'm not exactly sure when or whether it's immediate, but you will not have to do anything other than just pay your bill like you normally do when it comes. You won't have to do anything to, say, get the extra gigabyte. The cost per charge of overage If you go over on the small plan, it will be $20 per 300 megabytes, and 1 gigabyte of storage will cost you $10 additionally. If you are using an iPad plan, you will actually still be able to get 3 gigabytes for $30, 5 gigabytes for $50, and you'll get 250 megabytes for the mere $15.
Uh-huh.
Is the way it sort of reads. Yes.
As we move on.
As we move on. What's next?
I don't know. What is next?
You don't know what's next?
CES, I think.
Why no?
What's next?
Why have you been playing that stupid ringtone?
Oh, it's the marimba. Oh, okay. I couldn't help myself.
I know.
Yeah. The New York Symphony was playing a nice, wonderful concert last week featuring Mahler's Ninth Symphony. It's a very slow, soft piece. And in the middle of the either last movement or second to the last movement, the audience and orchestra were treated to...
I really want this story to be over.
No, it was not part of the symphony. It was someone's iPhone ring going off. It was the marimba ringtone.
It was kind of an old guy that just got an iPhone 4S,
We think so. And it was apparently very, very loud. And apparently it didn't stop. It kept going and kept going. The conductor actually called attention to it, demanded that the person fess up, whose ever phone it was, you know, fess up, stand up, show yourself type of thing, and, you know, asked if this was going to continue. The person said no, and that was where it ended. I guess the concert finished with, you know, a very sort of lackluster finish, but this brings up a point of, you know, what's the New York Symphony going to do as far as cell phones are concerned. This is the second time that a cell phone has interrupted a concert, or, well, been heard during a concert. And really, though, the first time that a conductor has called attention to it. There are certain theaters in the country here that have banned cell phones from movies in the theaters. But, you know, no word yet on what the plans are for the
cell phones. Of people get irritated when you spend $15 to $20 to go see a movie and then the person in front of you is using a cell phone that lights up the entire theater.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, there was one girl who had gone to a movie, and she was texting in the theater, and they just didn't take her cell phone, and they threw her out. They said she could not finish the movie. She had to leave.
I can understand that.
Yep, I can too. And at courthouses in the U.S., there is a growing trend, if you will, to take away people's cell phones if they make noises, and you don't get them back.
Yeah, but the problem with the iPhone is that people do not realize that even though you put it on vibrate, that doesn't mean that the alarm will be turned off.
That's very true.
And I think that's what caught the guy in this particular issue, is he had an alarm set and the alarm was not muted. The only way that you can mute everything, including the alarm, is to turn the volume down on the phone all the way to nothing.
Right.
And mute it.
And mute it.
So, yeah, a lot of people say, yeah, all you got to do is set an alarm and then just flip your switch to vibrate.
No, that doesn't work for alarms.
And the alarm will still go off the next morning. Well, mm-hmm. I don't trust that.
I don't trust it either, but I hear it works.
Yeah.
But I still don't trust it.
So that's kind of the complaint. And then some people are saying, oh, we need a setting so that you can do it. And they're like, you do. It's called a volume button.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Moving right along, Hulu is going to follow in the footsteps of Netflix, who has announced that coming in February, they're going to have a Lilyhammer, or Lilyhammer, L-I-L-Y, Hammer, original series on Netflix. Well, Hulu is going to join that.
First original series will be called Battleground, and it is about the campaign for a seat in the Wisconsin Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder if they voted for SOPA.
I don't know. And they're also going to have another feature, a travel log for a movie director or something. Going to do like some kind of reality TV thing. And another show.
Yeah, so they're going to have 13 or 14 episodes, I believe, of the Wisconsin...
Battleground.
So something to look forward to. Oh, and I will mention that if you stay tuned after our ending credits... we will play a video that is about 4 minutes long that will describe all the issues with SOPA in a nutshell. So if you're interested, stay tuned. Now, last week we had mentioned a few things about CES 2012 that took place in Las Vegas.
Woo-hoo!
And CNET came up with their best of. So some of the best of things that won awards at the Consumer Electronics Show was best cell phone was the Nokia Lumia 900 that everyone's been raving about and waiting to see. It is not accessible from what we understand because it is Windows Phone 7. So that's a boo hiss. Best camera was a Fujifilm X-Pro 1 with very good interchangeable lenses going after the pro market. Best emerging tech product is the MakerBot replicator, which sells for about $2,000 so that you can actually replicate designs and objects.
I have no idea how this works. Some people apparently saw it at CES and were amazed by it. I don't know what kinds of things it can actually replicate.
There was somebody that actually had a iPhone case design, and they input it into the system, and next thing you know, it was printing it out.
But it has to have materials to use.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not exactly sure all about that, but they were actually using it at CES, so that's kind of impressive. Plus, I think the NASA space station is actually going to be outfitted with a 3D printer, much better quality probably than the do-it-yourself at-home thing to replicate parts and things that they need.
I don't know. Those computers that run the station and run the space shuttles are pretty outdated.
Yeah. They still probably buy parts on eBay.
Yeah, I'm looking for a 286 processor chip from 1987. Y'all got any of them?
Best home theater product is the Simple TV DVR and video streamer. This one is unique because you bring your own storage and it will actually allow you to record and stream your over-the-air channels as well as internet and other information. You can actually take it on the go like on a Slingbox for $5 a month to their particular service. Yes, and I don't know whether that'll catch on or not. Best computer was the HP Envy 14 Spectra, S-P-E-C-T-R-E. This was a computer that is containing Beats Audio by Dr. Dre, I believe. NFC support. It actually has support for wireless audio, which is a new thing, probably. And it will cost about $1,300 to $1,400, and it'll be out sometime in February. Best software is a program called BlueStacks for Windows 8 that will actually allow Android applications to run on a Microsoft product.
That's cool.
That's kind of bizarre.
Weird, but interesting.
Microsoft will probably block that somehow.
Somehow.
Just like the Linux thing.
Yeah. You know?
Best networking storage is the D-Link Amplify HD Media Router 3000. It has optimized settings for online video, such as Netflix and Hulu. So if you're into that, you might want to check that out later this year. Best tablet was the Asus Memo?
I think Memo.
I guess it is. Memo 370T, which is a quad-core processor with NVIDIA Tegra 3, and it's really fast, apparently, with a 7-inch screen running the latest ice cream sandwich. Best TV of the show is the LG 55 EM. Let's see. That's the EM9800 OLED TV. This is the one that I believe was like 4 millimeters thick, like a sheet of glass.
It was like $10,000 or something.
Yeah, it's like $6,000 or $7,000. Estimated. They haven't announced anything. Probably be out sometime later this year. Other things as far as like TVs and things that were out from last week, several are coming with Google installed on them. Several are going to try and have voice input. I believe there's a Samsung that you can actually talk to get things going on one of their control devices. But we have an article in the show notes regarding all
about
of that.
The TVs.
Yeah, because there's a lot to it, and there's not a lot of mention about the HD 3D.
One, apparently, I think when Samsung one had glasses to it, and there was one that was claiming it was 3D without glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think in terms of that. But I do know that one of the displays was like really huge. It was like a whole wall size.
Wow.
And that one kind of impressed people because some guy comes and kicks a soccer ball and everyone in the area with glasses on sort of ducked.
Ooh.
Because it was kind of freaky that this big soccer ball was coming right at you. I have not seen 3D, probably can't see 3D, so I'm not really impressed by it. One other thing that was announced last week at CES was that one laptop per child is back, and they're actually going to have the XO 3.0 that will sell for $100, and it will be a tablet.
Yay, a tablet. And it's going to run Linux, of course, their Sugar operating system.
The Sugar operating system, or there will also be a version that will have Android.
Android on it. One cool thing about this is, of course, we know that the PC computers are powered. Of course, you can power them by electricity, solar, or a hand crank. And this will do the same thing. It has a protective cover with a solar panel in it. So that if you're using it indoors, you can take the panel out, the cover outside, and set it outside, and it will charge.
Yeah, it's kind of like a smart cover that you have on the iPad.
Yeah, except with a solar panel in it. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, speaking of mainstream tablets, Asus is coming out with a sequel to the Transformer Prime, not to be considered with confused by the Transformers Optimus Prime back in the 80s. This tablet is called the Padfone, P-A-D-F-O-N-E, T700 series hybrid.
And this is weird because it's like a tablet, but with a cell phone.
Yeah, the screen is 1920 by 1200 resolution, 1.3 quad-core Tegra 3 processor, which is probably something along the lines of what the new iPad will have that will probably be announced sometime either this month or next month. It's going to cost somewhere around $699 for the 64 gigabyte model, which is like $100 more, I believe, than the Transformer Prime. Yeah, and it also has cell phone connectivity that will have a hand unit that you can actually make phone calls from. So instead of it being like the Atrix that was a phone that made a laptop, this is a tablet with a little buddy that turns into a phone.
This is so bizarre to me. I just don't see it. I'm not getting it. I mean, why have that? Why not just have a phone and a Bluetooth keyboard?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the tablet has a little more computing power, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, the tablet should be pretty snappy. The attachment for the phone will be $149 additional cost from that $600 to $700 price range.
And as yet, no word on what cell phones it's going to support.
No, no word on the carriers as of yet. Or a time frame for its live and in-person release.
And now we get to talk about the tablet that's all bendy.
Yeah, the IdeaPad by Lenovo called the Yoga. It has a bizarre design because it can actually be considered a laptop and a tablet. It has a 13.3-inch screen and weighs about 3.2 pounds, and it's 0.67 inches thick, and will have a Core i7 processor, so it has a lot of gumption. The screen will actually fold down so that you can turn it into a tablet. Seems like kind of a heavy tablet.
Yeah, 3 pounds.
Yeah, that's kind of heavy. But, I mean, the iPad 3, they're rumoring that it may be a little bit thicker, but I don't think it's going to get up to 3 pounds. But the IdeaPad is kind of unique because it has hinges and it's a little bit flexible. People that actually had a hands-on that we will post from Ars Technica in the show notes said that it didn't feel as good as something like the Asus Padfone because it just didn't seem to be as sturdy built. And ready to go.
Yeah, and Padfone is P-A-D-F-O-N-E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, are we done?
Yeah, ding.
Oh.
Hey, now we can head over into what everybody's really interested in, accessibility news, and Nokia has announced something.
Nokia has announced that for its Bell phones, the phones running the Bell operating system,
which I believe is Canada,
France, and Europe.
Ah.
So for those phones, Code Factory is helping develop an accessible screen reading alternative, just like they have been doing for others. And the funding for this is coming from a French charity. Most funding for French blindness institutions and products comes from charities in France called Handicap Zero or some such thing. And they are funding the development of this Code Factory product. No word yet on when it's going to be released, how much it's going to cost, or anything like that. But just to know that it is in the works so that yet more people who have Nokia phones in Europe that run the Bell platform will be able to use them. I don't think this is a platform that's caught on here in the U.S. and Canada, to my knowledge, but do know that it is in use in Europe.
Aha. I was confusing it with the Bell Telecom in
Canada. Yeah, in Canada. No, this is a different, completely different
thing. I even read the article and still confused it.
Well, I had to read it a few times myself, yeah. But anyway. So that's going to be an exciting development. Good new business for Code Factory. Sprint. We mentioned last week that Sprint was making the Code Factory mobile accessibility suite for Android free to qualifying customers who had accessibility issues, screen reading issues. Sprint has now gone one further and has developed accessibility packs, which are essentially packages of suggested apps that can help visually impaired people and people with mobility impairments do various things with their Android phones. These are apps like Eyes Free Shell and Idea RSS Reader and
Keyboard Tutor
and Talking Compass and Walkie Talkie. And they go all over the board. And they're basically apps that are already out there. But Sprint has combined them into packages as sort of like a suggested use kind of thing.
Yeah, let's see. They have an accessibility pack. They have an accessible entertainment ID pack, an accessible navigation pack, a accessible daily living ID pack, and the final one is reading made easier.
Yeah.
Where they have some things that we'll try and do, like a speech reader.
I think there's a magnification, too.
Yeah, that's something that's in one of these, I believe.
For magnification.
So that's kind of good. They kind of give you a starter kit to sort of get started and figure out what you need.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's always the hardest part about getting a new device is figuring out what kind of apps and things you need and what people like.
Exactly.
So hopefully they have tested these things and actually know that they are accessible.
Yeah, and I'm sure they've had some customer input as well, or hopefully. We hope they've acted on that.
Yeah, and this is all from Apps for Android. Apps, yeah. APPS for Android.
A person is starting a Kickstarter project, or rather has started a Kickstarter project, to develop a Rock Band-like application for the visually impaired.
It's already kicked off.
It's called Rock Vibe. And it is developed primarily for the PC, since most blind people do not have gaming consoles. Essentially, what this is in Rock Band, it's a very visual thing, and squares light up on the screen to tell people what notes and what rhythms to play and when to start playing and all that kind of thing. Well, in this case, the player wears, I mean, it has an instrument just like normal, and the player wears a glove, like a USB glove that is hooked into your computer, and the fingers vibrate, and according to the vibrations, they tell you what to do based on the various vibrations that the glove is sent by this USB cable. Now, the weird thing is you're holding a glove trying to play Rock Band, and the USB cable is flopping around, so I'm not exactly sure how comfortable this is. It would be really cool if it was like a Bluetooth glove, but Bluetooth signals are less accurate, and I guess that's and harder to develop with, probably. And the Kickstarter project, Rock Vibe, they're going towards a goal of $32,000, and they're already over halfway there, or they were as of 3 or 4 days ago when I found this story. So, you know, go over and give it a look, see, and if you're interested, donate.
Yeah, I guess it would end up being like the controllers they tried to do in the 90s. I can't remember whether it was Sega or the Sony Dreamcast or what, that had the glove that you could actually interact with the screen by moving and doing different things. So that could be interesting.
Yeah. A group in California is suing Redbox, claiming that their kiosks are inaccessible to blind people wishing to return and rent videos. For those of you who don't know, Redbox is, well, an automated kiosk service. They put them in malls and things, and you can go and rent movies from them.
Yes, a giant vending machine.
Pretty much a vending machine for DVDs. So you have to put in some personal information, credit card information, your zip code, and that kind of thing. And so blind people, when they go to these things, have to rely on the assistance of friends or, in some extreme cases, strangers to input their information for them. And there is a complaint in the works to require that Redbox make their kiosks accessible.
Yeah, I wonder if they could do it with like an iPhone app or something, because I know Redbox has an iPhone app, and I've heard people mention that they use it, and you can put in, hey, I want this movie and all this, and it'll alert you to when it's available, that
right.
kind of thing.
They, possibly, then and if you had a smartphone, maybe they could make an Android app as well, and you could do that, but if you don't have a smartphone, you'd kind of be out of luck.
Yeah, I don't know how you would be able to do that. Unless it spoke all of the different options that you had.
It would have to speak everything.
You know, I could see maybe an iPhone or an Android app that would actually give you a list of the movies that you could select and then a Braille keypad that you enter the information on. I mean,
right.
That would be the simplest way.
That would be simple.
Maybe they'll be end up doing that and they can send me funds from that.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay, and the last accessibility thing we have right now is the Wimpy fast food chain decided that they wanted to run a campaign advertising the fact that they now have Braille menus. This is primarily a hamburger chain. And so they did a gimmick where they told their chefs to put sesame seeds into the buns in various Braille configurations that would say things like 100% beef burger made just for you or some such thing, and took them around to various I don't know exactly where, but various institutions, I guess was the word in the article, to see what kind of, what people thought about them. And a lot of the blind people that ordered them thought that it was a very cool thing. I don't know if it's going to be something that they're going to continue to do just for the heck of it. You know, can I have a Braille burger, please? Or if this was just a one-time deal. But just to know, if you've got those hamburger chains in your area, they do have Braille menus.
Yeah, I can just see the guy behind the counter, you know. Yeah, do you want a strawberry or a chocolate shake with that? Do you want the bun with you want dots with that?
You want dots? You do know that you can pay on other days than Tuesday, right?
Yeah. I'll gladly take a burger today if I can pay you on Tuesday.
You have to pay on the other days, yeah.
The old Popeye cartoons. Yeah. I had to explain that before the podcast.
Yeah, I was not. I don't know much about Popeye except that he ate his spinach, and I know the characters' names, and that's about it. And then olive oil is really annoying.
Yeah, I have to say that this is a clever promotion as far as being able to advertise that, yes, you do have Braille menus.
Yeah, I thought it was clever, too.
Plus, somebody had to figure out the Braille for that.
Exactly. But, you know, there's an app for that. What were you
thinking? Okay, one of our favorite places, Taco Bell, or at least my favorite, possibly.
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell stupidly exploited Martin Luther King Day by sending out an inappropriate tweet, or a tweet that was misconstrued as being inappropriate.
Do you ever dream about nice... What was it? Do you ever dream about...
Here's the quote.
What is it?
Have you... From at Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Anyway, have you ever dreamed about eating at Taco Bell and then woke up and made that dream come true?
That is so crass. That is awful. Oh my God.
Hey, at least I didn't do a YouTube video.
That's true, but it's still terrible.
I have a dream of eating a giant chalupa.
Oh gosh. That's terrible.
Yeah, I will say, even for me, growing up in the South, that would be a little bit of a bad thing there.
Very crass and not definitely not a top class thing to do.
But, you know, a lot of people know about Taco Bell now.
Yeah.
And they know that they've got a Twitter account.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Still doesn't make me not want Taco Bell. Wait a minute, I need to go. No, I'll wait.
You have to wait. I already made dinner.
Oh, crap.
Okay, and another what were you thinking that also incidentally has to do with food. Amanda's Oak Leaf Cakes decided, I guess it was just because they wanted to. It's a blog dedicated to cakes. They were going to make a 300-pound, 6'4" tall, in other words, life-size, stormtrooper cake.
That's a big cake.
And on their website, they have basically videos of how they put this cake together. And all of it is not cake, because it is so massive. For instance, the legs are essentially giant Rice Krispie treats, because they had more support, you know, would give the cake more support than just
cake legs. Oh,
God,
it stands up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it stands up.
I did not know.
And they had to figure out a way to make the fondant, you know, go on the way it was supposed to, and how to get the various pieces to stick together. And so, you know, I'm not going into it much here, but you can find a link to it in our Twitter feed. We didn't put it on Delicious, I don't think, on our show notes.
I'll try and find the link for it and include it.
Yeah, it was some pretty amazing stuff.
Yes, quite interesting. Yeah, we have an alternate, we really hadn't advertised this, but we do have an alternate feed that is where we put lots of different things and we kind of pull from that.
I put it on the Tech Access Weekly Twitter account too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's there.
But I will tweet a lot of things from at Rodney Edgar on Twitter from things like pop culture, things like shows that we might watch or other people might be interested in, you know, different pop culture things. And that was one of the things. And she picked it out thinking that that was really bizarre and cool at the same time to make
and
a cake.
And especially yummy.
Ah, yes. The Rice Krispie treats.
Mmm. Mm. And on that note, this has been episode...
Oh, 123. Somebody did the intro for that.
Yeah. If you want to get notes on our stories or more information, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess/123.
You can follow the alternate Twitter account that we have by following at links, the number 4, T-A-W. You'll find a whole bunch of crap there. I mean, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Incidentally, I accidentally tweeted to that account to a Mushroom FM broadcaster and told them I was listening.
Oh, no, that was funny.
They were like, who is Links for T-A-W? It was Sarah Cranston. She's like, somebody named Links for T-A-W tweeted in, and whoever you are, I'm glad you're listening. And I even said, oopsie, my bad, that was me.
Speaking of Mushroom FM, you can catch the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. with you.
Woohoo! With me, indeed. And if you want to actually hear part of the symphony that the marimba ringtone, I'm not going to play it again, interrupted, listen to last Sunday's show.
Ah, yes.
You can get it at mushroomfm.com/meltingpot.
Well, goody, goody.
Mm-hmm. And so...
we will head off into the sunset. The video on the SOPA and PIPA will be coming up after the music. You can follow me on Twitter at Rodney Edgar.
And I'm Aaron Edgar.
And we'll just say bye-bye.
Bye!
The internet is one of the United States' most robust and growing industries. It enables free and open communication among billions, and it's been the backbone for protests around the world. But a new bill proposes we give the power to censor the internet to the entertainment industry. It's called Protect IP, and here's how it works. Private corporations want the ability to shut down unauthorized sites where people download movies, TV shows, and music. Since most of these sites are outside U.S. jurisdiction, Protect IP uses a couple different tactics within American borders. Firstly, it gives the government the power to make U.S. internet providers block access to infringing domain names. They can also sue U.S.-based search engines, directories, or even blogs and forums to have links to these sites removed. Secondly, Protect IP gives corporations and the government the ability to cut off funds to infringing websites by having U.S.-based advertisers and payment services cancel those accounts. In a nutshell, that's what Protect IP will try to do. But in all likelihood, it'll do something else altogether. For starters, it won't stop downloaders. You'll still be able to access a blocked site just by entering its IP address instead of its name. What Protect IP will do is cripple new startups because it also lets companies sue any site they feel isn't doing their filtering well enough. These lawsuits could easily bankrupt new search engines and social media sites. And Protect IP's wording is ambiguous enough that important social media sites could become targets. Lots of trailblazing websites could look like piracy havens to the wrong judge. Tumblr, SoundCloud, and early YouTube, wherever people express themselves, make art, broadcast news, or organize protests, there's plenty of TV footage, movie clips, and copyrighted music mixed in. And even if you trust the US government not to abuse their new power to censor the net, what about the countries that follow in our path and pass similar laws? People around the world will have very different internets, and unscrupulous governments will have powerful tools to hinder free expression. But perhaps most dangerously, Protect IP will meddle with the inner workings of the net. Experts believe by fiddling with the web's registry of domain names, the result will be less security and less stability. In short, Protect IP won't stop piracy, but it will introduce vast potential for censorship and abuse while making the web less safe and less reliable. This is the internet we're talking about. It's a vital and vibrant medium, and our government is tampering with its basic structure so people will maybe buy more Hollywood movies. But Hollywood movies don't get grassroots candidates elected. They don't overthrow corrupt regimes, and the entire entertainment industry doesn't even contribute that much to our economy. The internet does all these and more. Corporations already have tools to fight piracy. They have the power to take down specific content, to sue peer-to-peer software companies out of existence, and to sue journalists just for talking about how to copy a DVD. They have a history of stretching and abusing their powers. They tried to take a baby video off YouTube just for the music playing in the background. They've used legal penalties written for large-scale commercial piracy to go after families and children. They even sued to ban the VCR and the first MP3 players. So the question is, how far will they take all this? The answer at this point is obvious. As far as we'll let them. Since we made this video, Protect IP has gotten much worse and is set up for quick passage. Now, the government and corporations could block any site, foreign or domestic, just for one infringing link. Sites like YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook would have to censor their users or get shut down, since they become liable for everything users post. And ordinary users could go to jail for 5 years for posting any copyrighted work, even just singing a pop song. The internet